This is Todd Lights, public address announcer for your Los Angeles Dodgers. And now, it's time for the Bleed Los podcast with your hosts Alonso and Juan.
And Alicia del Valle.
With the baby face gimmick in the sky, Roger.
Bienvenidos, señoras y señores, to the Bleed Los podcast. We have another episode here of the Carne Asada. This episode of the Bleed Los podcast is brought to you by Bet Online. Bet Online is the fastest and it's the easiest way to wager on all your favorite sports, contests, or events. And be that, you know, they give you all the markets and the odds, lines. You know, you can find reviews. You got news on every league: Major League Baseball, the NFL, NBA, NHL, combat sports, esports, even golf. So BetOnline continues to be your top online resource for all your sports information, from live in-game betting, props, and futures. So head to BetOnline today and use your mobile device. Join today. Make your first sports bet. Use our promo code BELIEVE50, that's BLEAV50, to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, where the game starts. And joining us on the Carne Asada in this episode is La Chica Deportes, right? That's the handle. Jennifer Mercedes, one of the hosts and producers of La Vida Baseball. Jennifer, thank you for joining us. Pleasure to have you on.
No, thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure.
No problem. So let's get to it. I discovered you online. I discovered you through Twitter, and then I found you on YouTube. And you're talking to like major leaguers, but more importantly, you're talking to Latinos, and that's what caught my eye. So let's start from the beginning, Jennifer. We're introducing you to our audience, which is primarily on the West Coast, and I know you're an East Coast girl. So how did this all come about?
Yeah, so, I mean, I went to school for TV and media. I went to Rutgers University, and my initial love and passion was acting. I thought I was going to be an actor, so I went to school for theater and then media production. Thank God I went to school for media production, because that's I have actually used my college classes and everything I learned in my actual life. I don't know how many people can say that right now, right? But I was a big baseball fan growing up. And when I got started I was still in college. I did my internship at Telemundo here in the tri-state area. And while I was there, they started sending me out to do street interviews. And that's when I kind of figured, I was like, oh, I can do this. I like this. And I actually started out on the entertainment side. So I was doing red carpets, which I loved, interviewing actors. But I had the opportunity to go work at a different show. And they asked me what I wanted to do. And I said, can I do sports? And that's where it all kind of started. And the host of one of the shows, he started to call me La Chica Deportes. Like, he'd be like, oh, and here is La Chica Deportes coming in. And so that's how I got started, honestly, in sports and focused on baseball, because that's the one that I really loved.
Well, you know, our co-host Alicia comes from that world, so I'm sure, Alicia, you could relate, right? Go ahead, Alicia.
I was just going to bounce on that one. So, Jennifer, I love that you right away said you grew up loving baseball. I love origin stories. I love history. I feel like baseball lovers, we romanticize baseball, you know? Like, it's like part of why we love baseball is the history. But I want to know about you. What is your origin story? Why? How did you grow up loving baseball?
Well, as a Dominicana, it is in the blood. As you know, the DR is one of the biggest producers of baseball players in the world. And it's just, it's in the blood, right? And so I played softball when I was a kid, and baseball was really introduced to me through my father. We would watch games growing up, big Yankee fan. And that's where it started. That's where my love of baseball started. And it's always been a bonding moment with my dad, and with the family watching games. So that's where my love initially started for baseball. It's with my dad.
I love that. That seems everybody we have on our Bleed Los podcast, especially because we are the only Latinos talking Dodgers baseball. I love to hear those stories. It is passed on, right? I think more so than any other major sport in America, baseball is that legacy of, like, you pass it on. It becomes you said bonding, you said memories with your father, and you played baseball, I mean softball. Yeah. So did I. What was your position, and did you know that the softball Little League World Series is going on right now?
Yes. I've been watching a little bit of the Little League World Series. I played right field. I was never really good. I can admit now I choked a lot. But I loved the game, right? I mean, I love to go out there. I love to play the game. Thankfully, I didn't actually want to compete at a higher level. I knew if I wanted to play in college, it was like a job, right? It's a job to play collegiate sports. So I played from Little League through high school was what I played. So I played, I played right field.
Nice. But there are lessons to be learned right in group sports. So I'm a big proponent of that.
Oh yeah. Right? Yeah. Teamwork.
I think J-Lo played softball. A lot of like major celebrities and stars played team sports. So it's all good. I mean, I wasn't the best. I was always the smallest one. So what I lacked in talent, I made up for an attitude. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Team sports it's amazing. I mean, I encourage all parents to, you know, have their children play any sport that they want, all sports if they can, right? If they have the ability to do so, to be multi-sport children. It's great. It's good for their formation. And you learn how to work with people. And that's one thing that we all really need right now, is to learn how to work with each other.
Ooh, you said it, girl. You said it. I want to also follow up on, so you're a Yankees fan.
Yeah.
She's like, yeah. I diehard Dodgers fans, obese. Are you also a Mets fan? Do you hate the Mets, or how does that work?
No. So it's funny. So growing up, obviously, like I was a diehard Yankee fan. But when I started working, the Mets were actually the first team that really allowed me access to them and to be able to get interviews and all of that. So they then became my second team. They became my second home, really. I was always at Citi Field. Well, actually, Shea Stadium. And then it became Citi Field. So the Mets have a special place in my heart. So I root for both. I always, when people ask me, like, who do you root for? I'm like, I root for New York. And I tend to root for players more now than I like individual players than I do like an actual team.
Right. Yeah. Were you here for All-Star Weekend? I know I saw a lot of content.
Yes.
That dumb question, right? Juan and I, the Bleed Los guys, we were all out at some of the events and we hosted our own watch party. So what did you think of Dodger Stadium hosting the All-Star game? Because I have a number I want to throw at you after you tell me did you have a good time? What was your impression of
Except for the heat, because it was literally it's like walking through hell. It was so hot. Oh my God. It was, and I've been to like last year was in Colorado and it was hot, but it wasn't this type of hot. And everybody will tell you, it was just like hot. And I'm surprised. Actually, I'm going to call it the Dodgers. I'm surprised there was like no fans in the dugout, actual fans. Because usually a lot of the teams will have fans to cool everybody off. But there was none of that. And it was just so hot. But, before I go on a tangent on the weather, it was amazing. Honestly, I thought it was one of the best cities to have had the All-Star game. Is one of the most fun I've had in a city with the All-Star game. The celebrity All-Star game was, the softball game was so much fun, right? I mean, having Bad Bunny there, they need to bring Bad Bunny to everything now. I had never seen a stadium so full for the celebrity game alone. Mm-hmm. And it was packed. It was a lot of fun. I enjoyed my time. It was great. Dodger Stadium was great.
Yay, thank you. I love to hear that. So Juan and I were just talking about this last night, how that game, that series, that weekend at Dodger Stadium was the number one moneymaker in the history of All-Star Weekends, including the 2008 Yankees. And I'm like, yes, like LA, bring it. And I apologize for the weather. It's been more humid than usual.
Yeah.
Climate change, okay? I just, that leads me into a thing that I have, like a bone I have to pick. If you look around Dodger Stadium, muchos Latinos, like tons of Mexican Americans, especially, like, right, And I feel like MLB or maybe the Dodgers, I don't know. I don't want to blame anyone. I just want some kind of like recognition, some kind of marketing, some kind of like hiring within our community, since we are the ones, the majority of the fans there. Did you notice that or did you sense that? I mean, I know a lot of people.
I feel like the Dodgers do a pretty good job with the Latino audience. I mean, they have the mariachi there, right, singing throughout, which was, it's always fun. It's great. I forgot his name at the moment. Who sings throughout the game sometimes.
Julian Torres.
Yes, Julian Torres was great, and he sang the national anthem, which was you know, kudos to them, right? And they honored Jaime Jarrín throughout the game. So I feel like they do a pretty good job of acknowledging that. I mean, they would be remiss, right, to not acknowledge the large Los Dodgers, right, fan base, especially in L.A. So I think they do a pretty good job. Obviously, everyone can always do better because we are such a large population and we are out here. I think teams are getting better and better at it. Just a couple of days ago, I was in Boston where they had Dominican Heritage Night for the first time, which was crazy to me because they had so many Dominicans prior to this. And they only have one now. So, but they did a great job of entertaining the Dominican fans that are in Boston. There's such a large Dominican population in Boston. The Mets have always done a really good job of catering to the Latino fan base. So the Dodgers, I mean, I felt like there's a lot of Latinos within the organization. But again, will always love to see us at higher levels and executive levels, because that's where we can really make a difference.
And on air, which is why kudos to you, Mama, because women of color, it's very important to tell our stories, like your story you just told, right? And then more little girls see it and think it's kind of normalized and cool. Yeah. To like sports, to get a, you know, have a profession in sports. And I have been to several Yankees games, a couple of Mets, Dodgers games, and the Mets experience was so much better. I'm just saying.
No. It's different, right? It is. Stadium and Citi Field, it's two different experiences. I always say Yankee Stadium, depending on where you're sitting, is more Wall Street, is more corporate. And Citi Field, I feel, is more home.
Right.
There's more of a home vibe. And I mean, right now, the vibe at Citi Field is just, it's crazy because they're playing so well, and you know they're doing really well. Hopefully, they stay on that course and don't do Mets things. And then at the end,
on that note, I know Juan, we're gonna get into some baseball talk. Go ahead, Juan.
Before, there's a bunch of things that I want to follow up on with you, Jennifer, there.
Yeah.
I want to take you back, though. You mentioned that the Mets were the ones that first gave you your opportunity, right?
Yeah.
So I've just recently been in the clubhouse. I want to hear your experience. And maybe it's because of me watching Greg Popovich blow reporters up on the NBA. To me, I'm going to admit this. I'm a little intimidated going into that locker room because I feel a lot of these players don't want to talk to the press. I feel a lot of these players look at the press as they're trying to get us, you know, gotcha. But at the same time, I do see, you know, some players, especially the Latinos, when they see somebody, and you're very good at this because you speak the language, so you can speak to them in their native tongue. When you were first covering, going into that Mets locker room, did you experience any of that? Or were you just a natural and you faked the funk and you were like, I belong here? And
yeah. Honestly, that's my advice to everybody, is fake it till you make it and act like you belong. And when you act like you belong, nobody's going to like side eye you. Even though I've gotten a lot of side eyes, especially in the beginning of my career. But I have to say, I've been blessed with having had the ability to engage with players and build those relationships over the course of 10, 12 years that I've been doing this. So I've very rarely ever had a guy say no to me. And if I did, like, they'd be like, but I'll come, you know, can you come tomorrow? Or can you do this at this time? So I've been blessed in that sense, as far as access to players. I can't even say it's a bad experience. It was just like a guy who was, can I curse here?
Yeah, go ahead.
He was a dick, right? And Eddie wasn't even a Latino player. But whatever, he's not even playing with them.
So feel free. This is your home. Say whatever you want. There's no judgment here, Jennifer. There is absolutely no judgment.
But no, but I've been blessed, honestly, to have the access and players. Like you said, Latino players, when they see another Latino, they are always more engaging because I remember one time, I can't remember who the player was, but I went, I was like, oh, you know, can you have a couple minutes? And he was like, in Spanish? And I'm like, yeah. He's like, oh my God, finally. Because he had only been doing English interviews. And so he's like, oh, finally. And so a lot of them, you know, they feel more at home when they can speak their own language and there's a connection. And a lot of us have had the same stories, the same struggles, even if, you know, I'm born here, Dominican American, but my family is from over there. So we all have similar stories. And so there's a commonality there. There's like it's like a family, right? It's like a big extended family. So when guys see, I have an interview that I did with Carlos Santana when I got this job with La Vida Baseball. And so I was always basically hustling by myself. Camera, if I didn't have a camera person, like I'm doing camera, I'm doing everything, right? And I'm looking for the players and trying to get them to sit down. And so in my first year with La Vida Baseball, which was 3 years ago, I had a sit down interview with Carlos. He was one of my first ones with La Vida. And when he came out and he saw, we had a big setup. It was like a camera crew and we had two cameras and all this stuff. And it was the first time he had seen me with that kind of a setup. And he was like, oh my God. He's like, I am so proud of you. Like he was proud of me. And a lot of these guys, they watch. And I get a lot of messages from guys like, oh, I'm so happy to see what you're doing, your growth and a lot of that. So I've been blessed, honestly, with the relationship with players.
You know, it's funny that you say that they watch. They do, don't they? They want to know what people are saying about them, huh? Even though they won't admit to it.
Oh, yes. It's funny because, I mean, I have been with, like, a player and they're just, like, on their phone and they're like, oh, look what they're saying about me. Like, and they, like, act like they don't care, but, like, they care. I can't speak for everybody, but I they do. They watch. I mean, I think it's why a lot of them sometimes have taken themselves off social media because it can be toxic.
Yeah.
Oh, very. I want to get into La Vida Baseball, but before I do that, take me into, you had mentioned in the beginning that, you know, the people in the Dominican, they just love baseball. And for me, the Latinos are the ones that are keeping baseball alive in this country. You know, for the most part, we all know football, and I'm not talking about American football. I'm talking about football is the dominant sport around the world. Mm-hmm. And in particular, there is the stereotype that in Latin countries, football dominates. But I don't think that's the case in countries like Puerto Rico or the Dominican Republic. Do they still say, I love this saying, and I use it all the time, which is, you don't walk off the island, you hit your way off the island. Is that still a saying in the Dominican Republic?
I had actually never heard that saying.
Oh, really?
No, I never heard that. But I can imagine. I could see why that is. You know, especially, you know, generations ago, decades ago, when that was really the only way out. Now, there is a lot. There's been a lot more progress in the Dominican. I mean, our soccer team is going to the Olympics. So football is, you know, it is in the Caribbean. It's not the dominant sport, obviously, in the DR. Baseball will always be the dominant sport. It's just, it's in the blood. But it is a way out, right? There is still a lot of poverty. And baseball is definitely seen as that way out of the way to help their families, and just to get a foot into the U.S., right? The American dream.
So now I'm going to ask you to be a historian here. Is the reason why baseball is so popular in the Dominican is because of all the major league camps? You know, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong on this one, babyface, I believe the Dodgers were the first major league baseball team to put a baseball academy in the Dominican Republic. So because there was an infrastructure there for baseball, is that why the sport is so popular there?
No, I mean, it has helped the sport, you know, stay relevant, I guess, is what I could say. But a lot of people could go back to Trujillo, the dictator. He actually built the first baseball stadium. He built what is now known as Juan Marichal, El Estadio Quisqueya Juan Marichal. And so he was big into baseball. I mean, there's a lot of stories actually with Trujillo that I want to like delve into and learn more about. He actually, there's a story about him bringing Satchel Paige to the DR to play, and a couple of the Negro League players to play in this tournament that he had. They were almost held hostage and kidnapped in order to play down in the DR, because Satchel brought a couple of other Negro League players to play against another team in the DR. But it stems back, you know, generations and generations. So yes, the academies have helped to progress the game. MLB has really tried to get it into every corner of the country. It's definitely available in every corner of the country, right? I mean, you see the guys, the kids playing bitilla, which is like stickball, or some people call it plaquita. And so the love of the game is, I would say, everywhere in the country. And now there is more access to becoming more a professional. There's a lot of leagues, there's a lot of academies, not just the Major League Baseball academies, right? But there's a lot of other academies that are just there to build the baseball players. One of my greatest hopes and wishes is that along with the academies, MLB will actually, you know, become responsible for these kids' education and actually obligate these players to finish high school, because they're not obligated to do so. It kind of works on a team by team basis. Some teams do allow it. Some teams have great programs. The Yankees, the Phillies, I believe the Mets as well, have really great programs. The Diamondbacks have great program, educational programs where they allow them to finish, basically get their GED. So that's my greatest hope. And I'm sorry, I'm going on a tangent, but
no, I love this.
I love this.
Because I knew nothing about Trujillo. So I love that you're educating me. I'm a little embarrassed of how ignorant I am when it comes to that. But the whole Trujillo thing, I didn't know. I really have always been fascinated by the Dominicans' love of baseball. And, you know, you have the Cubans and the Puerto Ricans also. So that part of the world, I was always curious about where that love of baseball came. I do want to transition how you got involved with La Vida Baseball, because, well, why don't you tell our audience before I butcher it, what La Vida Baseball is all about?
So La Vida Baseball is a digital platform where we basically tell the Latino players' story. And it's a platform where players can come and feel comfortable and share their experiences, but also it's the culture. We talk about the music, the food, everything that encompasses baseball, Latino baseball culture. I started actually with my own program about 12 years ago called La Chica Deportes, my name. And I was doing that. I had been doing that for about 10 years. And we said off camera, you know, like, is this my day job? At that time, it was not my day job. I was working with my mom. I was doing a bunch of whatever I could, right, to sustain myself and sustain my show. Because I was doing everything, sales, everything. And then one day out of the blue, I got a message on LinkedIn from our CEO, Jay Sharman, and they had me go in for an interview, and that's how I started. I mean, I was basically, what I do at La Vida Baseball now is what I have been doing, which has led to the success that we've been able to have at La Vida and grow as a company to tell their stories, right? To tell the player stories and the access, the relationships that I've been able to build throughout the years. But being able to tell the Latino players' story through the Latino lens is what we really, what we pride ourselves on.
Love Sound it. Familiar, Alicia?
I love it. I'm so happy. This is why I was very excited to have you on, because I too, like Juan, found you guys, you and your program online. And I'm so thirsty for anything through that Latino lens you just talked about. Mm-hmm. Because I come from news, hard news. And even that was difficult to break into. Someone that looked like me, talked like me, had a last name like me. No one grew up with women like us on television, right? So I think it's a very big deal. You're a storyteller. I call myself a storyteller. I just feel like there are so many stories, like what you just taught us about Trujillo. Like, I actually, like Juan, thought the Dodgers were the first to put baseball on the map in the Dominican. Now I know. I am sorry. I should be doing more homework. You know what I mean? Because, especially because I love baseball and origin stories.
Oh, and I'm not a historian by any means, please.
I'm so, so people are going to come back and say, she's lying. No. She's not telling you the truth. But no, you but suckers are taking it.
No, there's just, there's so many stories, right, regarding right. that. And there is, I mean, there's so much more for me to learn as well. And there's just baseball as a whole in Latin America is the history behind it is amazing when you start to learn about how a lot of the Negro League players preferred to play in Latin America, especially in Mexico. They were treated better. They didn't have to face the racism that they face here in the States. So, I mean, the Latin America is actually was always open to the Negro League players, which is a great story in and of itself. So, yeah, please, you know, learn more about it. Everybody, we all need to you know, do yeah, that.
No, I hear you. I hear you. And that's why I actually wanted to learn more about your love for the Yankees and the Mets, because I don't know about you, but my hopes for this season is a Yankee-Dodger World Series. Any thoughts on that? I mean, the way the season's going, I'm just saying.
I mean, that's the right. That's the dream for a lot of people. A lot of baseball fans is Yankees-Dodgers. But here on the East Coast, it's a lot of Yankees-Mets. I mean, the Subway Series.
Right. Right. Yeah.
Would be amazing. I wouldn't have to go anywhere. Not that I don't love to travel, but yeah. I could literally just stay home. So that for me, that would be awesome to have it in New York. The last time when the Mets were in against Kansas City, that experience was a little hard because we lost. But it was great. It was a lot of fun. So. Yes, Yankees Dodgers would be marketing, obviously, money, right? It would be money. Right. Everybody's going to be, because you have East Coast, West Coast. but a Subway Series would be nice.
You know what, Jennifer, and this is for both of you guys, because Babyface and I were having this conversation yesterday about, do we want to see Dodgers Astros or do we want to see Dodgers Yankees? And we were talking about the fact that it's like, look, it's been about 40 years since the Dodgers and the Yankees met in the World Series. We like to refer to it as the Clásico, right? We want to see it. But I, you know, you bring it up, Jennifer, I think that's lost on a lot of people, the fact that the Dodgers and the Yankees would always meet in the World Series, and for the most part, the Yankees would always hand it to the Dodgers, right? Yeah. So, I mean, would that be good for baseball, do you guys think?
Yeah.
If we could somehow renew this, or is it going to be the fact, because baseball is so regional now that, like, you know, all they care about is their team. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I was going to say, but I think those are two teams that widen the scope, right? They're not as regional. The New York Yankees are the most well-known team around the world. Like, if you don't even follow baseball, you know who the Yankees are. You have a Yankees cap. You know, like any part of the world, you can see somebody with a Yankee cap. And the Dodgers is, I think, right there next to the Yankees because of the history. So I think it'd be great for baseball. I don't think it would hurt at all. I mean, I'm sure MLB is just like praying to the baseball gods to finally let it happen. But we shall see.
Well, could the best case scenario be a Dodgers Mets NLCS? And then a Dodgers Yankees World Series.
Yeah, or vice versa.
I mean, Alicia, what do you think? Do you think that rivalry is lost? Because you had the late 70s and you had the early 80s. That's the most recent. Go ahead, Denver.
I don't think that rivalry that existed before is as heavy, is as like passionate. But it's still there, right? And the rivalry, I think the rivalry exists more amongst fans.
You're absolutely right. Yeah. All right, Alicia, tell them what a big fan you are of Yankee fans.
What? No. I was trying to stay away from that. We love her. you know, it's just the experiences I've had with Yankees fans I just don't get it. We're sunshine here, and we're being equated as the West Coast evil empire. Do you subscribe to that? I know it starts with the money that we've spent, but we're sunshine. We're smiles. We play. We let our players, you know, have long hair. Like, we don't have many restrictions.
Oh, there's the shade. The shade is coming.
Oh, listen, I can't stand that rule. I think it's one. I think it's so antiquated. I mean, what they do to those poor guys when they had to take off their beards? It's like, it's brutal. Cause some of them, you know, you just change the whole face. And it's like, why'd you do that to them? Like, you know, at least a 5 o'clock shadow. I'm all for a beard. Like,
no more. Yeah, in fact, Joey Gallo just hit his first home run for the Dodgers. And I was so surprised that so many journalists in the clubhouse kept asking him about his facial hair. Because now he's got the, I've always liked having a beard, this and that. And I don't know, you guys, even, is there such a thing, as the curse of Joey Gallo? Like, I know you guys have won one game since the trade deadline or something like that. I mean, no one's keeping score.
Yeah, nobody's keeping score, but no, I don't think so. Are they not playing well? Yeah, they are not playing well right now. I think they'll get back on track. I don't think it's a big issue. Joey, I'm happy for Gallo, right? Like, he played so bad here, and he was very well aware of it. I mean, I think to the point where I think I heard he stopped going out because he was right, and that's horrible. That's sad. But, you know, it's New York. Very passionate about things sometimes, about the wrong things, because whatever. Game. At the end of the day, it's a game. So I'm happy I hope he does really, really well. That's my hope for him as well.
Yeah, no, I just like having fun with that, like the curses and stuff like that. Like, I feel that's, you know, such an East Coast thing to have such history where one game, one player, one fan can ruin someone's career, a team's like legacy. So that's what I'm saying. Do you subscribe? Do you think the Dodgers are the evil empire? Because I take offense to that.
No, I think a lot of people think that the Yankees are the evil empire. Exactly. I don't really hear that about the Dodgers. I wouldn't say that. And honestly, for me, it's like, if you've got the money to spend it. I don't care. It's not their fault that they can spend money. If they can spend it and they can make their team better, do it, right? And the Yankees have always been known for that, especially when Steinbrenner was around, right? I mean, if he could spend millions and millions of dollars, nobody was going to stop him. So they got it, do it. I have never been someone to tell people like what to do with your money. If you got money, as long as you're helping people, which the Yankees do, like they have their hope, they do a lot in the community. So as long as they're helping people at the same time as they're spending all that money, I'm fine with it. I'm cool.
You nailed it. Because both the Dodgers are the same way. They are so community driven and community involved. And you're right. I mean, this is America, right? If you have the money, you spend it. That's what capitalism is.
Exactly.
I don't tell anyone how to spend their money either. And jumping on top of that, so today I'm going to stick with your Yankees and the Mets. Now that I know that they are both your team, can the Dodgers get some love? Like, what's up with this West Coast bias? Like, we've had a lot of guests here, not Dodger, you know, focused, but they admit that it exists. A, what is your thought on the West Coast bias? And why does MLB treat us so poor? Today, they ranked these top 10 power hitters. The Mets had two players. The Yankees had number one, Aaron Judge, of course. Dodgers can't even get a sniff. Like, what is that?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know if there's a bias per se. I mean, MLB does have its favorites, I think, obviously, and the Yankees being one of them. It is. They have ratings, and it's just, it is what it is, right? I don't know. I was going to say something very shady, but I don't want
to. No, do it. Do it. Come on. Come on. It's going to endear you to our audience. You know that.
there are people who believe that maybe the Dodgers need to win a World Series outside of a pandemic, outside of a short season.
That was shade. That was shade.
They won. It was the season, and it was what it was, and they took advantage of it, and they won. So, I mean, it's like when a team that has been in last place all of a sudden wins a wild card game, and then they go on to a World Series, right? Like, they took advantage of it. They played better than you. So it is what it is. To me, whatever team wins, they played better. That's it. Right.
I mean, and they all had the same situation. So
yeah,
it's not like other teams had a disadvantage. And we've been winning. I keep telling anyone who will listen, we are so spoiled. Dodger fans are so spoiled. Like Yankees fans, right?
The Yankees were for a while. Yeah, we were always expected to win. If you guys haven't seen the Derek Jeter documentary, The Captain on ESPN, right, it'll remind you and it'll take you back to those days when you expected the Yankees to win every single season. It was like a no-brainer.
Right. I know. Well, this is why I would rather have the Dodgers and the Yankees in the World Series. Plus, I don't want to give those cheating Astros any kind of shine, any kind of love. They're not punished enough yet. And that's on MLB, by the way, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Hey, Jennifer, speaking of that real quick, do you guys hate the Astros as much as we do?
I don't personally.
Jennifer's just all positivity. She doesn't hate anyone.
I think, you know, they did what they did. They were the ones that got caught. We don't know really how many other teams have been doing this. There's levels of it. And yeah, it was egregious. And they got caught, and this is what I say. It's not their fault that MLB didn't come down on them, right? It's not.
Yes.
It's not. You can't hold it against them. It's not like they're going to be like, oh, aren't you going to suspend me? I mean, I did something wrong, right? No, they're not going to do that. If MLB decided not to do that, it's on MLB. I mean, should they have been should there have been more punishments? Yes, I believe so. But there weren't. So I'm not going to hold that against the Astros players for not getting suspended. That's nothing they could do about that.
Should the title have been vacated?
Asterisk,
maybe an asterisk.
Should there just been no, like the strike season, should there have just been no champion that year?
No, I don't know. No. I mean,
that cheating caused men to lose their livelihoods, like their jobs. It wasn't just they wanted.
Yes. That's true. I mean, I believe that to be true. I also, though, think just like steroids, you still need to be able to hit the ball. There are people we know players who use steroids and we don't even talk about them anymore, right? Like they didn't even, it was like a blip in the radar. So I think you still need the talent to pull it all off. Did they have help? Yes, of course. But I am of the belief that you still need the talent in order to succeed. And obviously the Astros did have the talent, even though, you know, that one home run, what was it, against Chapman, that was always questionable. That was like, that one hurt a little bit. But at the end of the day, you know what? Just got to beat him now.
That is true. We're going to start wrapping things up. Yeah. With Jennifer. But I did want to ask you a few questions. You were just in Boston, you said, for a heritage night, a Dominican night. You were surprised that this is the first time they've had one. Are heritage nights, because the Dodgers have a lot of heritage nights out here, are heritage nights condescending?
No. What do you mean?
Like, do you feel like they're patronizing? Hey, we're going to give you a night where we're going to recognize you guys as fans.
No, I don't think it's patronizing. I think, is it, yes, like a marketing ploy? Of course, right? I do think that. But at the same time, you're acknowledging us and you're, you know, being acknowledged is always a good thing. Knowing that we exist is always a good thing. Now, should it be done more often? Is there different ways of doing it? Yes. but like Dominican night, it was fun. We had fun. Everybody had fun. They had a band playing music out, like right on the concourse. They acknowledged some of the prominent Dominicans in their team as far as like executive levels and office, front office people. They brought out Olivia Gonzalez, I believe is her name, from the Bolita Chronicles, which was just unfortunately canceled. Yeah, it sucks. But they brought her out. I mean, and I saw her. I was like, Cuckoo! Like, oh my God. So they did a really, I think they did a good job. I don't find it condescending though.
So yeah. You mentioned earlier, it was very interesting that a lot of the African-American players would go and play in the Dominican because they felt more comfortable. And you just mentioned about the acknowledgement, right, of Latinos in there. There has been talk, and I don't know how much headway has been made into it, about retiring Clemente's number across Major League Baseball. Now, for us, you know, we idolize Fernando Valenzuela. Fernando Valenzuela is, for a lot, it's the reason, in my opinion, that that stadium is full of Latinos is because of Valenzuela. And the fact that Valenzuela's jersey is not retired at Dodger Stadium, to me, there is just, it's inexcusable and it's embarrassing, honestly, to tell you the truth. So when you hear the Clemente, unfortunately, he's before my time, so all I know is the stories. Yeah. In fact, I mean, the guy hit 3,000 home runs, 3,000 hits, and he would have had more if he hadn't died. You hear old timers talk about Clemente, just like how amazing Jackie Robinson is who he is for African Americans. Is Clemente that guy for Latinos? Should Clemente's jersey be retired across the board in Major League Baseball?
Oh, Clemente, I mean, for sure. I he's in the Hall of Fame, right? I don't understand why we've had to beg and plead MLB to do so, to retire the number. It makes sense. Everybody wants it. The players want it to be retired. They've all been campaigning for that. So I don't know why. You know, I don't know why it hasn't happened. Obviously, MLB, unfortunately, is always a step or two behind the culture and what is right. Sometimes they end up doing what's right because they're shamed into it or whatever, or somebody decides to make the right decision. But I don't know what it's going to take for that to happen, for the number to be retired, because Clemente's impact on not only baseball but culture, same as Jackie, that it goes beyond baseball, right? I mean, he was a civil rights activist, and that's something that a lot of people don't talk about, because just like Jackie, would like to like whitewash the history of it, right? I mean, he was in contact with Martin Luther King during his time. So there's a lot to that story. And so to not honor him in that way and retiring the number, I don't know. But MLB will MLB.
It's, you want to keep the legacy alive, right? What a better way to have the legacy stay alive when some young kid goes, why is 21 retired? And then you can have people talk. And if you don't know about Clemente, find out about Clemente.
Yeah, I mean, and to that point, right, like you have Manny Meñoso and Luis Tiant, and I mean, Manny, who was just recently inducted into the Hall of Fame, right? A lot of players would say that he was their Jackie when he had the opportunity to play. So there's a lot of things that MLB needs to get right when it comes to honoring our people.
Alicia, you got anything before we wrap up?
I was just going to add, you said it yourself, Jennifer, that maybe they're waiting for the right marketing moment. Maybe they're waiting for a way to capitalize on it because, you know, back in the day, I think this stat still exists. I should have looked this up before we spoke to you. The average baseball fan, MLB fan, was a 55-year-old Anglo male.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's that way anymore. I mean, not at my stadium. The Southwest is not like that. What is the ratio at Yankee Stadium, you know, in terms of, like, what does it feel like? What does it look like? Is it still, like, you mentioned corporate earlier. I haven't been since pre-pandemic. I even went to the old stadium. Why don't you all have regular mustard? Oh, sorry. I digress. I walked all over that the OG Yankee Stadium trying to find regular mustard. It was like spicy, spicy, spicy. I was like, note to self, bring your own mustard. What is the racial makeup at Yankee Stadium for, you know, Latinos? Because I know for here in Los Angeles.
I have my niece here and she's just like dying to stick her head in.
Hey!
Hello, mija. What's your name?
My name is Amelia.
Amelia. Pretty. Hi, mija.
Hi. I'll answer your question. So the ratio, I mean, it's pretty mixed. There is, obviously, depending on what area you're sitting in, there is the majority white men. I'd say, you know, 40s, 50s. I think if MLB allows for the game to continue to go in the way in which it's going, as far as, you know, letting the kids play and allowing players to have fun, allowing the celebrations, even with a lot, I don't know if you guys seen like the productions that the teams have been doing with the closers, kind of stuff, right? Like, yes, make it fun. Like it is entertainment. We are watching this for an entertainment purpose, right? So all of that production stuff, If they allow that to happen, then the fan base will continue to skew younger, which is what they want. And they're making an effort. They need to make more of an effort. I always say, I'm like, they need to hire former NBA people because the NBA has done such a good job of playing to the different fans, to a diverse fan base.
I don't know if I would call it a cause, but I guess I can call it a cause. Mookie Betts, did you see or notice the shirt that he was wearing while he was taking during the All-Star weekend?
Yes, we need more Black people in baseball, and I agree, right? We need more Black people in baseball on so many different levels. We have a group chat called Black Girls Love Baseball that I'm a part of, and we talked about that shirt, and we're always trying to highlight us. Right. Yes, I agree. We need more Black people in baseball, more Latinos, more Asians, more people of color, period, because it's the only way for the fan base to feel seen. If you have us at the higher levels making the executive decisions, we know who to call. You know, we know what's right and what's wrong. You're not going to have a moment where we're going to have to put out an apology and say, oh, I'm sorry if you guys were offended. We missed the mark on something. Because if you have us there in front offices, we can tell you, that might not work, you know?
Exactly.
Jennifer, we're going to end the show the way we always end the show, but I want to pay homage to you with the little fun questions that you ask the players. You know, your Bad Bunny versus like Daddy Yankee, that kind of stuff. So we want to have a little fun with that. But first of all, I want to congratulate you. You were given the focus earlier. Was it a month ago or something on YouTube as being the MLB creator spotlight?
Yeah, that was fun. I don't get nervous that often, but I was actually very nervous for that interview. But yes, it was a great honor.
Yeah, that you made it now, right? You officially made it now that everybody's putting the spotlight on you.
My bank account says otherwise, but.
So some quick questions before I get to the last one. The World Baseball Classic. I love it. We're big fans of it here. We're proponents of it. We want to see it succeed. I just don't see how, or maybe I just don't trust it in Major League Baseball's hands to make it work, because I don't think anyone's going to want to stop the middle of the season and go ahead and play that tournament. It does surprise me that Paul Goldschmidt and Mike Trout have committed to playing it. It feels like now, I mean, even though the United States won the last one, it seems like maybe they're starting to take it a little more serious, because I feel like Puerto Rico, the Dominican Republic, they always bring it. Do you think with Goldschmidt and Trout and bigger American players committing to us that this is the tide is turning on the World Baseball Classic?
I hope so. I mean, that's one of my favorite events, period. I love the WBC. It's one of my favorite, I mean, my like the memories that I have that are I consider my favorite, a lot of them are from the WBC. And thankfully, you know, I was able to be there at the last one. And I think they're doing right by having a lot of the rounds be in Miami. Because you have a large Latino fan base. I mean, it's close to the DR. Like when the DR played in the last WBC, the stadium in Miami was full of Dominicans. I mean, it was packed and was an amazing experience. So they're doing that right. So I hope that continues. And I mean, I feel like even yes, you need some of the American stars, but there are so many Latino stars that will draw a lot of people as well. I hope it succeeds. I mean, I hope it never goes away. I love the WBC.
No, you're right. And people travel. When it was one of the games at Dodger Stadium, the Puerto Ricans took over that place. I mean, they had tambores and all of, and they were in like, they weren't even in the seats. It was like in the middle of the walkway in the concession stands. Yeah. They all started like forming a circle and it was a party. It is an amazing environment. Even when the Japanese team was playing and they had drums out in left field, it was so much fun. And that's why I root for the success of it. One other question before we go, and that is, this is Jaime Jarrin's final season. To us, especially on this show, we had the honor of speaking to the maestro. He is just as important as Vin Scully. We just recently lost to Vin Scully. May he rest in peace. How aware are you guys on the East Coast of Jaime Jarrin?
I mean, I think if you're a baseball fan, you know who Jaime is, right? And like you said, he is just as important as Vin Scully was to baseball. That the voice, he's legendary. And I'm aware. I think a lot of people in baseball who follow baseball are aware, know who Jaime is. Would I love more people to know? Yes, of course.
Well, you know, and it's funny because when we talked to him, he told us that everyone used to think he was Mexican. And Jaime Jarrin is from Ecuador.
Yeah.
So it's hilarious to him. I just want to make sure this man gets his flowers.
Were you guys there at the stadium when they honored him during the All-Star game?
No, we were not there.
Oh, but it was a nice tribute. Everyone stood up. It was one of the biggest, you know, standing ovations, I believe, of the night. So it was nice. And I always say, you know, give people their flowers when they're alive. So I was very happy that they've been doing that. It's sad to see him go, right? His final season. But what a legend.
You know what? Now I'm happy they gave him his flowers, but now I'm pissed because did they show any of that? Did they show Jarrin getting the standing ovation on the All-Star game coverage?
I don't know because I was there, so I wasn't watching on TV.
But I would think that would be going all over social media, that the Dodgers would be pushing that out. I didn't see any of that. Did you see that, Alicia?
So we were hosting the watch party, and honestly, that wasn't part of our party. We didn't see it. I mean, we tried to pay attention to what was happening on the televisions, but
they played a tribute video and then he waved to everybody. So if they didn't, what a bummer. Because it was so nice.
Oh, that thank sucks.
You. Thank you, Jennifer.
Now thank you for letting us know.
Find it. Yeah.
Exactly. Now we got to go find it. So now we're going to end. You have a segment where you go tacos versus empanadas. We have a segment here because not only are we about the Dodgers, we're about LA, but we are about taco culture. Tacos is very important to us. Last night we went on a binge eating late at night. We didn't have tacos, but we were searching for tacos. So it's really more personal. We just want to know where the best taco spots are. So I want to do, in honor of your segment, are you a taco or an empanada person? And go from there.
Yeah, so I am an empanada person. Okay. We call them, in DR, we call them pastelitos. So yes, those you can never go wrong with a pastelito, especially when you're for a party. You know, those are the appetizers.
Okay, so my next question is, why do you hate tacos? And why do you hate us?
I do not hate tacos. I love tacos. I love tacos. But you made me choose. So.
So what is your favorite taco? Like, when you go get tacos, what is the best? And is there, what is the place that you recommend? Well, I'll be going to New York next year. Are there any places in New York where I could get a good taco?
Oh, there's a lot of places in New York that you could get really good tacos. There's a place by City Field called Los Potros. I think it's called Los Potros or Los Potrillos. And they have good tacos. They have good flautas. Love their flautas. It's hard to go there and not have them. My favorite taco, probably tacos Al Pastor.
All right. You're an Al Pastor girl. Sounds good.
Nice.
I also like, you know, fish tacos, but that's not like, you know.
No, hey.
Tacos, girl.
You'd be surprised the number of people that come on the show and tell us that fish tacos are their go-to taco.
I thought that was like a no-no. But
No. Fish tacos are fantastic.
I like fish tacos.
And I just want to ask you, what is the Spanish word for beans?
For me, it's habichuelas.
There we go. All right. So we're traumatized here because we say frijoles, right?
Frijoles, yeah.
So we've had some Puerto Ricans on the show and we've had Dominicans. And when we say frijoles, se ofenden, right? They're just like, how dare you? They are habichuelas. Are you a person that is triggered by the word frijoles?
No, I'm not triggered by it, but it's habichuelas to me. And I mean, you guys cook them differently than we do, right? You have like the baked beans. I don't even know, like, I don't know how to say it in English, but I'll say guisan, las habichuelas, where they're like, they have the sauce and you put them over the rice and all that stuff.
Well, there you have it. We just wanted to we want to thank you, Jennifer. We had a lot of fun with you. We appreciate your candor. We appreciate everything that you're trying to do over there in keeping the Latino. I mean, like I've said before, I feel the Latinos are keeping baseball alive. It pisses me off that everyone loves football and the NBA, and that baseball is now third amongst the major sports. And if they're not careful, you know, football, the real football, might come up. I'm surprised at the number of teams that get support in MLS. Like, those stadiums are packed.
Yeah, here in LA, especially. Women's teams as well sell out.
So I appreciate everything that you're doing to try to grow the sport of Major League Baseball. So best of luck to you. There you have. Oh, Jennifer, where can they find you? Where can our listeners find you?
So you can follow us at La Vida Baseball and across all platforms. You can follow me at La Chica Deportes on Instagram. On Twitter, it's Chica Deportes. So look for me there.
Fabulous. There you have it. Jennifer Mercedes, ladies and gentlemen. And this episode of the Bleed Lows podcast has been brought to you by Bet Online, where the game starts.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode. Please subscribe and leave a review to the Bleed Lows podcast. The Bleed Lows podcast is a Dodgers Beat production.